Good morning. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. You reach us at that number. You can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send us a WhatsApp message as 266-IVOB. Today, we go to 2 o'clock. Yes, Graham, to 2. Graham Vaughan is our technical operator producer, and I'm Dennis Johnson. We go till 2 today. Tomorrow, we also go until 2, and checking in with the sporting team, I'm told that Wednesday, we will be through at 1, and then Thursday and Friday, we should be at BSAC all day long, so I'll see how that plays out. I will wait on communication from station manager and where we go from here, but that's what I've been told when I started this morning. Right, been away from the mic for a while, but I'm sure you have a lot on your plate. So I won't tell you what's on my plate. I'll deal with what's on your plate. And since we go till 2, maybe I'll find time somewhere along the way to tell you what's on my plate. So, good morning, and let's hear what's on your mind. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I am all right, and you?
Not too bad. I'm calling on the app to be the president of this Social Rights Party.
And change your party again?
No, not really.
You just have a lot of fets, boy.
Pardon me?
You're going to a lot of parties?
Not really. 3.
That's a lot.
They all come under one umbrella, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the umbrella called?
If they did from the umbrella?
Don't worry. Don't worry to hurt yourself. Go ahead. Tell me what you have on your mind.
No, I was going to tell you, the umbrella, we all come under what you call the center-right party of Barbados.
Center-right? No. Okay, move
a
little bit.
You ask me what your umbrella is called.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and you tell me the center-right.
The last time I had a conversation with you, I brought a scenario to you, because the Ray Gabbard was borrowing money, and you made the scenario, you kept the scenario, that if you borrow $300, and then you could get back, you would go to interview and borrow $3,000 and buy a taxi. You remember that conversation?
I always remember what I say, sir. You apparently don't, but I always do.
Anyhow, but your $3,000, you say you would invest in taxi, that would pay about the $300, that would pay about $3,000, you will make a little profit. You're with me so far?
I am always with you.
All right. But you feel, there's something you also feel.
I always fail too.
No. Let's assume that you bought $3,000. You invest in this taxi, and you get a job, sometimes one job a week, sometimes not at all. Mm-hmm. What do you think eventually will happen?
So, the reason why I tell you, right, that I always know what I say, but apparently you don't know what I say, is this.
Uh-huh.
The scenario that I painted to you was that if you borrow money that has no productive use, your chances of paying back are slim. If you borrow money for productive use, you give yourself an opportunity to make some money to pay it back. That is the thesis. That is the reasoning behind what I said to you. If you don't understand that, perhaps that's the reason why you jump from party to party or keep changing the name.
Listen, but if you bought a taxi, though, and you only get one job a week, and some of you still don't get no jobs, what do you think eventually will happen?
So exactly what's happening now. You sit and wait on an election and you hope that manna falls from heaven. Have a good morning. You know, the problem I have with you is that you think life is a joke. The problem I have with you is you think I'm an idiot. Now, there are lots of people who think so. There are also people who think I'm the worst moderator in Barbados. They may be right, but here's the thing. There is sense in my nonsense. I can't find the sense in your nonsense. You're wasting my time, honestly. That's why Barbados is in the position it's in, because people like you keep trying to rationalize nonsense. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, please. I want to relate something. Mm-hmm. You may have heard of it before, but it wouldn't hurt to hear it again.
All right. Okay.
There was a professor. And he was an intellectual, he was high profile. Mm-hmm. And mathematician, if you please. And he had, pardon?
Interesting fellows.
And he, good. And he had two cats. Big male cat. I know these high profile, high flyers usually have these.
Pedigree.
These as power symbols. Bible talks about lion, he-goat, greyhound, among others. Yeah, so he had these two cats, massive male cat and a smaller female cat. And he lived alone. But he had a housekeeper. And he would make trips from time to time, so he wouldn't always be home. And one day he said to the housekeeper, look, I am going on a trip. And I am not sure that you will be here as often as I would like you to be. So, in the interest of my cats, you see the kind of attention
he pays.
Some cats get, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
In the interest of the cats, what I will do, I'll build a tunnel from the house, from inside the house to the outside. He said two tunnels, not a tunnel, two tunnels. Two tunnels, Mr. Johnson. Two tunnels from the inside of the house to the outside. And it will be done so that the large cat can go through the large tunnel that I will build. And the small cat, you hear me, right?
Very clearly, cat, sir.
The small cat will go through the small tunnel that I have, that I intend to build. And he had the housekeeper a little puzzled. So when he saw the puzzle on the housekeeper's face, yeah, so what did I say wrong? Is something wrong? And the housekeeper said to him, but chief, if you intend to make a way for the cats to go in and out, and you're going to use tunnel, there's only need for one tunnel. The same tunnel the large cat go through, the smaller cat can go through. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, you know.
I hope.
And the professor looked at him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, you know, I never thought of that. Now, I want to say something to you. I want to put my spin on this, you see?
Mm.
Do you know how many of our people fall into the category of the professor who have been trained, encouraged to think a particular way or along a particular line? And do you know how many others are in the category of the housekeeper who have not been trained or encouraged to think along any particular way, but have been encouraged to think as they normally and naturally would?
Just encouraged to think. Yeah. Look, so one of the big challenges facing the world, especially in light of the various economic crises being experienced and changes being wrought in the landscape across the world, is because people follow one doctrine or the other when it comes to wealth creation, employment generation, and measure development with a yardstick that, quote unquote, is tried and tested. So when someone comes up with what we call outside the box, I don't know which box it is, but that's usually the phrase that's used, the term that's used. The first reaction is to ask who the person is, what's their qualifications, and then poo-poo whatever their suggestion is. Now, if somewhere along the line, someone with training finds a way to incorporate it into their thinking, it's then seen as pure genius. But until then, it's, you know, another one of them things that you just...
Unless you fit the slot, you would not be acknowledged, regardless
precisely,
of what
you're going. Yeah. There's a gentleman who from time to time weighs in on matters on the economy. And it's always interesting when he calls in because he usually takes a different view of what's being said. And what he says, makes sense. It's just that, you know, perhaps he's not quoting the right people. So I hear your story. I hear your story, sir.
Yes, please.
All right. You have a good one. I've been handed a note that says residents at Long Bay Road in St. Philip would like the Water Authority to fix the burst main that has been that way for the last 2 months. This is the road going to Sam Lord's Castle. Crew came out, looked at it, and went along. Last month, someone came from the BWA, came, looked at it, and told residents to catch water that somebody would be back to fix it that day, and it is still gushing. Don't know to whom, because the reports have been made, nothing is happening, and all the water is wasting. Right. That's from the folks at Long Bay Road in St. Philip who are complaining about a burst main. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
How are you, sir?
This is your brother, Nasser. How are you, sir?
I am good, sir.
How's the family?
They're fine. They're fine.
Praise you to Allah. I just came from a wonderful visit. The reason why you've not been hearing me, although I know you were not on too regularly lately, is I just came from the Nation of Islam Convention in Chicago.
That's the one where Brother Farrakhan was in trouble for criticizing the Jews?
Yeah, but we do that. We ain't worried about the Jews. Man, the Jews got life and we got life. Well, you know, we should not do anything to hurt the Jews, but Jews must know that the past cannot be hidden.
I saw that he was in trouble with the good folk for suggesting that the Jews were responsible for the mess created in Hollywood, and he came under some fire for it.
Brother Farrakhan,
likes to incite people to, anyway, how was your trip?
Oh, very, very, very. Anytime I can be in conference with Honorable Miss Farrakhan for hours, my trip must be good because I come back rejuvenated and know that I'm correct. But, you know, this is politics, know that in the air.
Well, there's a lot of it going around.
Yeah, the family, everybody is all good.
They're good.
Give me a couple of minutes, Mr. Johnson, to read two little things here to you, but to the nation. And I'm sure that one or two you can know. I read one. The first one that I'm going to read is from a book called The Dictators by Richard Overy. You ever hear him yet?
No, yeah, you mentioned him. You mentioned him, but I haven't had a chance to read him up. I know you would do that.
I have not read this book yet. But
you have not?
I've not read it yet because a new book that I just bought.
Okay.
But I know that with
and you got peace out of it already.
Oh, yeah. With politics out in the air, this is a good book for you to have.
Sink
to
my
read.
Teeth
you
into.
Know you can keep the book as long as you want to give it back to me. So I want to read two little things. One is from this book, and next one is from The Philosophy of Marcus Garvey. Now, you know you read
that. Yeah, I read that one. That one I read.
Listen to what the first one from Overy said. Mm-hmm. Human groupings have one main purpose, to assert everyone's right to be different, to be special, to think, feel, and live in his or her own way. People join together in order to win or defend this right. But this is where a terrible, fearful error is born. The belief that those groupings in the name of grace, a god, a party, or a state are the very purpose of life and not simply a means to an end. No. The only true and lasting meaning of the struggle for life is in the individual, in his modest but particularities, and in his right to those particularities. In other words, that is one. I want to go to the next one. It's more interesting. That one is real good, too, but we'll discuss that if you give me time. This is Marcus Garvey. The fall of government. The fall of nations and empires has always come about first by the disorganized spirit, the disorganized sentiment of those who made up the nation or the empire. The one class opposing fighting against the other class seeking to deprive them of the essential of life which are necessary for the good and well-being of all. The class that rules in the past and the class that rules now in the government are the people who have always provoked the spread of those who are ruled. Hence, you have social revolution, civil strife, which ultimately result in the downfall of the empire or the nation. Remember, barbarians in your mind. What has happened in the past will happen again. I am not attempting to prophesy the destruction of any of the now existing empires or nations, but the empires and the nations themselves are going
to fall
to their own ruin. Barbados, keep me thinking with me because I want to say about the car. The empire we hear of, in empires we hear of great unrest, labor unity, uniting themselves and marching to the representatives of the government, asking for better conditions to alleviate their suffering. Instead of the representatives seeking to pacify and satisfy those who are in need, the representatives of such governments adopt their stronghold policy to persecute those who suffer and appeal for aid from the nation and the empire. What happens? The dissatisfied who are driven away by the majesty of the law goes back to those who suffer and then scatter throughout the nation and the empire. The spirit of dissatisfaction that ultimately breaks out in civil strife, social disorder, and which in turn brings the downfall of the nation or the empire. Think about Barbados. People who rule, be it the last, I'm thinking doing here, sir. People who rule, mm-hmm. being selected by the masses of their own, forget when they get into power that they have an obligation to those who place them in the authority. Uh-huh. And true selfness, arrogant to themselves. All that is good within the nation to the exclusion of those who suffer and to exclude those who place them in their position of trust. Hence, monopoly. Mm-hmm. Industrial, commercial, and economic, which place power in the hands of a select few. Mm-hmm. Think about Barbados. And through the selflessness of administration by the few, they cause the majority of the masses to exist always in want. Through this want, a spread of dissatisfaction springs up amongst the people, and in their passion seek to correct the evil, tear down the government. Do you read this? Or just read this, John?
Sir, I listen to it, but you see, the challenge for Gavi's writings is this.
Yeah.
We continue to seek to tie our fortunes and development behind a particular group of people that we think either agree with our philosophy or we agree with their philosophy.
Correct.
And then we surrender our individual rights to them.
Right.
And to me, the failing of any political, social, or any other type of grouping is when you don't listen to what I call the dissenting voice. I remember telling the students at the university when they shut down the library and they called the calling program and said, you know, democracy means majority rules. I say, no, the acid test of a democracy is how you treat with the minority view.
Now, that's right.
If, and I've often made the comment that if you're my friend and I see you about to fall off the cliff, then I should tell you, Brother Nasser, you're going to fall off the cliff. Hold on for a second. Rather than watch you fall off the cliff and say, you idiot, you ain't see the cliff there, and then claim I'm your friend. So to me, the voice that says, hold on, let's think this through, is not your enemy. Necessarily your enemy must tell me in the back and say, good long fool, hurt yourself. I don't know why we take this view that once someone says a dissenting word, they don't like you and they're trying to tear you down. I don't get it, but that's how we think. And that's why poor, you know, we keep the message of Garvey and the fellows who thought like Garvey fall by the wayside all the time, because we get safe in positions of authority and we get safe with the trappings of power.
That's right. Mr. Johnson, if you have a Mercedes-Benz gasoline car, will you put diesel in the engine?
No, I wouldn't. I would, but I'd be an idiot. It won't go anywhere.
Okay, fine. No, I say all that because this government that we have, I hear a lot of people, a lot of diehard, or what they like to call yard folks, but I don't know what to call people who work for them yard folks, people who put them in office yard folks, that, they're believing Errol Barra. Now, we had a man called Errol Barra in this country who set up this country for progress and success. So he set up a government, a party, we set up a government in the interest of balance, intelligence, and logic to move this country forward, to bring harmony and racial unity into this country. No. Mm-hmm. And use education, because he knew education should. I would have to say I should know. In those days, he'd think that he know, but I have to say I should know, because education has failed black people in this country real bad. Watch this here. So if we now got a new group of people, a man who's there 5 years is 5 years, and now this is 5 years and a few days and refusal to call a general election, and we still want respect here as a prime minister. He said, not me, no, Mr. Johnson, not you. Flanders Truth said 5 years is 5 years. He got a mandate for 5 years. He's going 5 years. Well, 5 years gone. And I hear some jokers talking about, there's always an extra 3 months, Mr. Johnson. Every time you come, you're at 10 o'clock. And they come at you at a minute past 10, you could go home or go along. Yeah. But at least I come in at an hour after and tell you one that I had an extra hour. So here it is, you got a man as a leader. That's why I read them things to you, know. A leader of a country who know that his time is up and they can't.
Sir, don't ascribe motive. That's the challenge with conversations. It's all right to say that somebody's doing something. Don't ascribe motive to them, because that's when you walk the slippery slope of sliding off the edge of the cliff that I told you about. And I told you I'll pull you back before you slide off the edge of the cliff. You know, let me say this to you. If we don't get what we should get from an education system, if we don't grasp the rudiments of the reasons for education, which is an ability to decipher what you know from what you don't know, that's the essence of education, you know. So that you know what you know from what you don't know. If you don't grasp that, you will not try to improve your lot. If you believe that you know everything, you'll never learn anything. Because you believe you know everything, you will not open yourself to the acquisition of knowledge. So when I get accused all the time, you think you know everything, I laugh. Because I don't. That's why I read, that's why I listen, that's why I hear all sides, and I try to make sense of what I hear. What has happened to our education system, sir, is this. We have started to concentrate on teaching people how to pass examinations as opposed to teaching people how to learn. So if from day one, what we're interested in is how many passes my school get, how many scholarships my school have, how many bright students I turn out, then we focus in on the wrong thing. If the focus of education, as you said, the right excellent Errol Walton Barrow came up with, a means of lifting your people to a higher level, then you open your people to learn how to acquire knowledge. That's what you're supposed to teach them to do. Teach them how to learn. What has happened, sadly, is going back to what you had said earlier, or the previous caller had said, about people all being trained in the same place. If all our teachers are trained in the same place, if they're all given the same yardstick to measure, the same programs to follow, then it is hardly likely they will do anything different from what they've been taught. Because what they want to do too is succeed. They don't want to be termed failures. So they want to pass the exam too. They want to get the certification too, because that's what's going to get them ahead. It's not education that's wrong. It's how we're utilizing it that's wrong. I could take a hammer or I could take a chainsaw. And if I don't know how to use it, I'll bust my finger and I'll chop off my foot. It don't mean that there's anything wrong with a hammer or a chainsaw. It just means that I ain't know what to do with it. And the frustration that's being exhibited across our school system is because we have a generation that's being exposed to other ways of acquiring knowledge. And they don't know how to control or how to channel what they have acquired because they've not been trained in how to acquire knowledge. I know I'm not making sense to a lot of people, but this is down to brass tacks. You know, let me read this. This message says, you're making a lot of sense, but let me read this other one. Utter rubbish, see? As I said, everyone doesn't agree. This one says, no one focuses on how many children pass 11 plus. Children are taught many things early to think from the primary level. Parents have to play their part. See, I know I'm talking foolishness. I always do. Look, anyway, as I said, perhaps that's why I am where I am. Brass tacks, good morning. Don't get it, but hey, hello.
Good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, and how are you?
Pretty well today. Wish you the best of the week. And continuous, Mr. Johnson, I will not talk politics with you because I believe there's certain subjects that you and I can talk.
And politics is not one of them, okay?
Politics is not one. Well, at least
I wonder why.
Because, see, there's an air of understanding between the parties concerned.
Oh, okay. I will take that, sir, as a compliment.
Thank you.
What can I talk about?
I am going what can we talk about? Yeah, I'm going up a trade that would be interesting to you this morning. Mm-hmm. And if you have available the Saturday Sun, the back page, Hologram, hold that because I'm going to be talking to you along that line as far as the entertainment industry in Barbados is concerned. Uh-huh. First, I want to congratulate COSCAP. Mm-hmm. I want to congratulate all of those persons who, after 48 years of not being recognized, are providing a comfortable area for people to visit for the late Dalton Manfield Bishop. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to say a very special good morning to all of the entertainers who turned up on Friday morning and lend their support to the plan. I want to congratulate the minister. By right, I have to be fair, and the people from NCF. But I'm saying these things that I now have to throw the hammer on some people who wrote, and I think they call themselves FSD Media or something like that on the back page, Hologram. The most dishonest piece of journalism that has ever been carried for an event was on that back page. I'll tell you what I'm saying. First, they have not spoken to the people about what COSCAP said in relation to the Jackie Hopper Scholarship. They have not said anything further than what Ms. Smith has said in relation to the $1 million as far as the Barbados entertainment is concerned and the $5 million that was sent overseas. But they took time out to write a wrong position. Now, I said on Friday morning that whole area is a catchment area. And since we have found that we've got the area as it is, now is the time to develop it. And I set up by saying, well, when you come off the tour ship and you come to Kensington Oval, the mecca of cricket in Barbados and the Caribbean, you have a Garfield Sober statue on the outside. 50 yards away from there, you have the Rihanna Drive. And then inside of West Bay Cemetery, it said that the cemeteries across the world are the history places for the country. Didn't I tell you that already, right, Mr. Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I went on to establish that in Westbury Cemetery, where we were.
We had several distinguished people residing there. Their final resting place.
That's right. You got Scott. Mm-hmm. You got the O'Neill's family. Mm-hmm. And then it came to an area that I said was lost ground. Lost ground. When you say lost ground, I said, well, here it is. We have the Jackie Opel tomb now. And 35 steps away from here.
Yeah, the first black speaker.
Yeah, no, that director
the police band. Sorry, the police band. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Not even a grain of grass to show that this is where the man was buried. And he's the man, Mr. Johnson. You know that he took Steel Man. He wrote the score for Steel Man. He took Steel Man to England. Johnson, Mr. Griffith, came to Barbados and was made the first black director of the police band. That wasn't all. Another 35 feet away from there, one of the greatest archivists of due times, Roy Bayer.
Yeah, geez, yeah.
And I went on to say these things. And here today, here in the paper, now, Miss Smith spoke after me. The minister spoke after me, and the newspaper wrote it as if though the comments were made by Ms. Smith, which the whole of Barbados heard, and all those people will realize, well, look, this is a Mark Williams suggestion. The minister complimented the idea. Ms. Smith complimented the idea. But this people that write hollow ground seem not to understand that when you distort history, you distort the advancement of a country. When you take it upon yourself to write personal articles, somewhere along the line, Mr. Johnson, I want to say it to you, right? It's not fair. It's not fair. You know why I say it's not fair? I realize that in certain communities, we have overlooked the development of those communities in due process. But here's a community now that in another 10, 20 years could become what we consider to be a community where people from all over the world will come and visit. Here is a West Bay, St. Leonard's and West Bay, that could bring money in to maintain the upkeep of the cemeteries. But I just say that. But I'm taking credit this morning as being the person who said
okay,
that.
Okay, forget it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Look, listen. I have seen visitors to Barbados standing outside the St. Mary's Churchyard trying to take pictures of the tombs through the fence because the gates are locked. So I know there are people who have an interest in it. And when I saw the comment, I said, right, this makes perfect sense. Paint the wall properly. That yellow offends me, but it's just me. You know, Bajan coral stone or coral render would look, you know, far nicer. You know, and the whole idea of making the resting place of your elders, those who went before you, hallowed ground is a time-honored tradition.
Yeah,
and it should be, even if you erect a wall, if you got to use the graves again because they're not owned by the people and you want to erect a wall with the various names. I mean, you look in the newspaper or you follow online stories and you see people going to the wall with the names of their dead children in the war and resting their hand against it and putting flowers. And it's a tradition. And we shouldn't ignore it.
I want to continue.
And if it came from you, sir, you know, take a bow.
Yeah. I want to continue, but laugh at this one. One of the entertainers was very annoyed on Saturday or Friday morning. This is what he said. They wait till he dared to give you a tomb.
That sounds like someone who is a good writer.
Let me continue.
That sounds like a good writer. He should write the calypso.
let me continue.
That
right?
is sweet.
I am asking. You know that people have a lot to say, and I'm going to say to the entertainers. I'm convinced now that cost cap means well. And Ms. Smith appealed on Friday morning to get involved, and that the more women should get involved in the industry. And one of the things that hurt us is the fact that here it is that you're repatriating $5 million to diverse recording countries, companies across the world. But the intake of Barbados is just about a little over $1 million. No, there got to be a reason for that. Other people have blamed the radio stations. I'm not going to blame the radio stations. I am going to blame that somewhere within the broadcast media today, the young DJs are more concerned with what they would consider to be the international market than considered with the Caribbean or Barbados market. So obviously it's going to be... But I also heard the minister sometime back said that the time will come when you will have to have 100% local music. Now, if this is the case...
He's very serious about that, he said.
Yeah, very serious about it. As a matter of fact, I like to be fair. My political views don't come as far as Barbados is concerned. As some person must get credit, they must get credit. And I believe that we must look forward in the entertainment industry to the day when we could say, yes, we've got 100% local music. This will mean that those recording artists, those producers, those executive producers will then be able to go to the bank and say, well, I've got this out of entertainment. And that is what, also I'm very impressed that after 40 years, that COSCAP could say, look, we are going to give a scholarship in the name of, and this media have not written it.
They get around to it.
When?
I don't know. Today there's an article in today's newspaper that CBC and BBS still on the radar of COSCAP. So perhaps the story is being carried piece by piece by piece. Let me say to you though, one of the challenges we will face going forward on this 100% local music is this. Deciding what is local music. Because there is still confusion in some minds as to whether it's songs written, produced, and done by local artists, or whether it's a Bajan artist, wherever he is writing music. Because, for example, I don't consider Rihanna's music to be local music. Because if it's registered to a company outside of Barbados, I don't see it as being local. Okay? You'll have to export whatever to them. Now, if she sends it back to Barbados, yes. But if the company is based outside of Barbados and it's registered to an entity that's a company outside of Barbados, I mean, Canada at one point said that Bryan Adams and Celine Dion were not Canadian artists because their music wasn't registered in Canada. So they went through that discussion. But there are local producers, I know several of them, who produce music in every genre, R&B, hip-hop, reggae, soca, you name it. They do it, jazz.
But
the recognition that this was done and produced by a Bajan company registered in Barbados is lost sometimes on the public. Now, I made a comment earlier on that has been termed foolishness, but it goes back to education. If you teach your people to acquire knowledge, to read and understand, they would know that you can have local reggae, you can have local jazz, you can have local R&B, and be able to differentiate what a local song means to them. Now, I hear what you say about the younger people working on an international market. Trinidad and Tobago this year, during Panorama, for medium-sized bands, you know what was played? Government Boots.
Government Boots.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the songs that was played by a band was Government Boots.
Government Boots.
Government Boots. In a Trinidad Pan competition in the Heights Carnival. Right?
You're on the subject matter. And I want to raise this one.
That's my other soapbox. Let me get on this one quick and then jump off. Our hotels should have multi-entertainment venues in it, rather than us trying to build an entertainment venue that would sit down and we ask what we're doing with it.
That's right. But can I give you a comment, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
In reference to what you said earlier, and I believe you would remember this, there was many days in Barbados back in the 60s and the 70s when Barbados was producing all international labels, and it was stamped made in Barbados, whether it was Decca, whether it was Brunswick, if you remember those days when war was present.
Mm-hmm. When West Indies Records was the place to come to Barbados, Barbados had more traffic in and out of it than in the heights of the tourist season.
That's right. So in closing, very good subject, because I'm sure that we can debate this for the bats.
Yeah, we can talk about it one day.
I know that Rez is chirping at the bits to come on and say that.
And blaze you?
I can see Rez chirping at the bits to make a comment. But I'm going to say, if we are supposed to prove our point as far as our entertainment industry is concerned, we must give credit where credit is due. We must look at the radio stations who, I remember, when you look at the amount of radio stations in Barbados, now there were only three at one time. But now they've got a whole set of radio stations that can play the music. So if we're getting $1 million now, and we got these amount of radio stations, something's got to be wrong.
Well, that's another story, yes. But yeah.
You have a good day.
You too, sir. We have to, though, however, give credit to the young producers who have set about carving a carving for themselves an occupation. And for them right now, it's more passion than anything else. And they do reach out to the Caribbean. They do work across the Caribbean. Their work will be recognized more and more as they work with artists who take the music overseas. They use social media a lot to produce what they do. What we have to do is to make sure that they have the platforms to work on, that they get the local support that they need, because they all crave local support as much as they get it from across the region. Some of them work in radio stations. That's the strange part of it. But anyway, Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Not too bad at all. Mm-hmm. Now, I am so glad that you are on this morning.
Really?
I know there's a miracle.
No, don't put it down to that.
Anyhow, you and I don't think, I didn't went to university, neither. I heard you say you never went to one either.
No, I didn't.
Well, so this morning is a layman's interpretation of the representation of the People's Act. You have a nation in front of you.
Yes, I do.
And not today's, yesterday's.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Now, I want to read 61.2 according to the representative People's Act. People seem to be confused with this 90 days. Let me read it that the general public can understand what it really says. 61.2. After every dissolution of Parliament, the Governor General shall issue writs for a general election of members of the House of Assembly returnable within 90 days. Now the Parliament dissolves. My reading into this is that parliamentarians should return in Parliament within 90 days. Am I correct? This was it said?
That's one interpretation.
The reason why
I say that's one interpretation is because people find all sorts of interpretations.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm dealing with what the Act says. That within 90 days.
Acts are open to interpretation. Yeah.
Parliament should have parliamentarians back into Parliament within
a 90-day period.
That 90-day period. It also states further down that the Prime Minister has a right to call the date, but the date hangs within 90 days, not after 90 days. You follow what I'm saying, Dennis?
Sir, I always follow. That's why I sit here and do all day long. Listen and follow.
Right.
That's what I do.
So it means, therefore, that what has to happen in 90 days, I don't know if the Prime Minister got a different view of holding the election.
And he is a QC, sir.
Pardon?
He is a QC.
Exactly.
Trained in the law.
Because that is his powers. His
trained in the law. So therefore, he would have an interpretation.
Is enshrined in the law that he has the right to call the date, but not, it cannot go past 90 days. And as I state openly, and I'm going to repeat it, that the public should understand, after the dissolution of Parliament, the Governor General shall issue writs for a general election of members of the House of Assembly returnable within 90 days. It means, therefore, we should have new parliamentarian on a new administration within the 90 days, up to the 89th day. But they have to be in Parliament, not outside of Parliament. And that is what I said I was waiting, and I hope that you did on this morning, because I know if there's anybody else that understands the English language, I don't care what they say, how much you think you know all. You can only know all by reading. And if they won't read, and comprehension is a thing you got to understand. And if you don't understand, you don't understand. So the problem about the 90 days is not about calling election after 90 days. This is what I said earlier, that the Governor General, this is her government. And she has to make sure, I know she listens, that they follow the law. So Mr. Short could call election within the 90 days as long as it is set that parliamentarians will be back into Parliament.
Why are you so fixed on it? What makes you think that it's going beyond 90 days? Because of what people say.
So,
but you see, and that's the problem that I have, you know. The problem I have is this. Politicians in Barbados sit back and they say very little. What they say is open to interpretation. And the people who claim to be speaking on their behalf jump up and make all sorts of statements. People who are against the people speaking on their behalf take issue with it. And crosstalk goes here, there, and everywhere. And the political directorate sit back and say, well, we didn't say so. That is your interpretation of it. So, look, Barbados will have a general election. Barbados will have a general election between now and June. And Barbadians will go to the polls as they normally do. They'll either go in large numbers or they'll go in small numbers. They will go quietly. They will not row with anybody outside of, you know, the usual banter across the rum shops and the yards and gaps and, you know, in open spaces where they cater. And after the election, there will be talk on the radio as usual as to who could have won, who should have won, who didn't win, who didn't win, why. And we will go back to facing the same issues we face today. How do we pay our bills? How do we get our income tax returns on time? Who owns what? Why it was sold to them, at what price, did we have the best value for it, and how much we gonna pay back the IMF over the next 20 years. That's what we need to do. We are wasting time focusing on who driving what car, who have police outriders, who went by who last night and did what, as opposed to focusing on an issue. And our issue is our country has no means of supporting the lifestyle that we have grown accustomed to. And unless we find a way to do it, we in duck's guts, all of us, as long as we live in here.
I thank you, because that's all I want to explain the first month. I not do know what the government do, because then the government, as far as MPs is concerned, they could do what they want to do. They defend the law. The 90 days, all I want the public to know that you must have members in parliament within 90 days according to the Constitution. So if you know the law, and they believe you can live within that law, that is his right. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.